big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder. And this is where online and student ministry heroes get to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we are going all online and mobile on this episode because we're talking about the one and the only Pokemon Go. That's right, the app that has taken over the world, literally taken over my news feed, my Twitter feed. All the postings on blogs and websites now are all about Pokemon Go. And so I thought, what a great opportunity for me to talk about Pokemon Go, because this is definitely something that we talk about with online usage, and considering that so many students and young adults are using it, it definitely flows into the student ministry topic. So I brought in my friend Jade, and Jade is a guy that's on staff at New Life, and we'll get into this in the conversation, but you know, I actually met Jade online through Facebook and through his gaming skills. He is a gamer and he is awesome. He is very involved in the gaming community. And so I brought him on the podcast today to talk about Pokemon Go, because he was the reason why I heard about Pokemon Go to begin with. He was in our church playing Pokemon Go with some of our interns who are college students, and they were all playing Pokemon Go, and I'm like, what the heck are they doing? And then I began to see it on my newsfeed over and over again. So I brought Jade on board, and he's going to be talking about the podcast about Pokemon Go and what is it, so that people can understand a little bit more. How do people use it? How do people play? And how can we use it for ministry? So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Jade. Okay, with me right now is my friend Jade Earhart.
Hello.
Jade, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Now, Jade's a person on New Life staff, and before I asked him to share a little bit about him, the funny thing about him is that through social media, I knew who Jade was before he actually came on staff, and actually before he was, I mean, actually, you were at New Life before you were on staff, right?
Yeah, I was for about a year or so.
Oh, geez, yeah. So that's right, because you were a storyteller in our Kids Zone area.
Yeah.
And that's right, and you were one of the crazy storytellers that everyone always raved about.
Yeah. Crazy hair.
The crazy hair.
Kids love that.
I'm probably going to have to, in the show notes, attach a picture of what you look like so that people can see your crazy hair.
Yeah.
But I knew Jade before he actually came on staff, and a lot through social media and a lot through gaming, because I'm a terrible gamer. But I started discovering with online ministry that there's an underserved group of people, the gamers, who are not, you know, who have an opportunity to hear about Christ. And there is this fascinating group that's already doing this. Explain to me a little bit about the group, and explain to me a little bit about your history of how you got involved in doing ministry, and you include gaming on that.
Sure, yeah. So the group is Game Church, and they the website's gamechurch.com, but they have a Facebook group, Game Church City, and that's kind of where people get sent to if they find out about Game Church. So what Game Church does is they go to major events that have gaming related, such as E3, PAX. There's another section even for anime and stuff like that. And they pretty much just tell people that Jesus loves them, gives them some free swag, and sends them on their way. So usually through that, they end up finding our Facebook group, the Game Church City Facebook group. And that group has over 2,000 people at the time of this recording.
Yeah.
And growing quite a lot every day. And it's just people that through either through that or through other means have found a group that they can play with. So half of, I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but there are a lot of people in there who have maybe never been to a church, but then there's also people that have been to a church. So it's a good kind of balance in between of just getting to know people and then kind of starting conversations where that wouldn't have normally been the case. Some of these people, they maybe don't get out as much as other people, or they wouldn't have means of communicating if it wasn't for communicating through that social media. So I'm really glad I got to be a part of that, and that's been really good for me personally, because it's hard for me to find those people, and so having it right at my door makes it much easier.
Yeah, dude, and again, you're very active in Game Church.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You're posting in there pretty regularly, and they're not all Christians in this group, right?
No, most, I don't want to say most aren't. I don't know what the breakdown is between Christian and non-Christian.
Yeah.
But there are definitely non-Christians for sure, and that's great. That's one of my favorite things about it, is that it's not specifically geared for, we're not trying to make a group that's a Christian only group. That is the same. I like to say what they say about the church at large, right? Like, a church is for broken people, and so that means there are broken people in it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's true of Game Church too. It's, these are people that we identify lovingly as nerds, you know. We're people who have passions, and our passions are all aligned, and if we're lucky, then those conversations can lead towards why we have the joy that we have, you know. Yeah. Have an answer for that. So it's been really good for me,
dude,
personally.
And it's awesome, again, because I am a member of this group, but I don't post very often, but I love reading all this stuff, and I love seeing all the things that is happening in this group and other groups like it, because this is not the only one. But,
right.
And you have a unique passion for gamers, because you're a gamer yourself. Explain a little bit about gaming and how that's played a role in your life.
Sure. Well, it can be played with a controller or with a mouse and keyboard. No. I grew up a little bit less social than I'd say I am now. I think I've always been extroverted, but I didn't really get out a whole lot, and I didn't have social skills. So growing up was kind of difficult for somebody who wanted to be social but was socially awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, gaming kind of helped bridge that gap, because when you're good at a game, or when you're playing a game with somebody else, or if you have a game or whatever reason, like, that kind of breaks down a lot of social barriers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to say anything, and then you can just play a game. And for whatever reason, that kind of just, you get to know people through conversations that come through that. So I've pretty much always based my, honestly, social life has always kind of grown out of video games, which is very interesting, the dynamic, because I'd say most people, I'm not gonna say most people, but I have had a fair number of people that have kind of gone like, oh, you play video games? Like, but don't you like hanging out with people? You know, like they feel like it's a very introverted, very kind of inclusive, single to one person. And there are games like that. But those aren't the kind of games that I personally enjoy, or that I kind of gravitate towards. So for me, it's always been a very social, it's been one of the only, honestly, social ways that I've been able to kind of get to know people. And now I've obviously branched out a lot, and I go whatever, and we have small groups and other ways like that. But before that, before I was able to get to that stage, I had a couple key friends that I would play games with. And so growing up, that was kind of my way of making friends, honestly, was playing games.
And now, I mean, with the online, I know online's not new, but it is, I mean, with the whole simple fact that you can communicate and meet people all across the world, that's a fascinating thing, and people are usually using this in a mighty way.
It's definitely more accessible to people than it was. You know, dial-up isn't necessarily the best way to communicate with somebody.
Yes, I remember those days of dial-up. Okay, well, the reason why I have you on, and thanks for sharing part of your history a little bit, part of the main reason why I have you on is because Pokemon Go has taken over the world.
And
literally, it's taken over the world.
It's great. For us, it's great.
And so for someone like me, I'm a little bit older. I missed the Pokemon phase. You know, again, my little brother, he was into it, and I'm sure he's playing Pokemon Go right now. But for me, I never quite understood Pokemon. So what is the fascination with this game? First off, what's the fascination with this game? Why has it taken off and become the viral hit?
Sure,
that it is?
Right. First of all, I'd say I'm really glad this game took off, because the way the game is set up is that it's either going to be a colossal success or a colossal failure. Yeah. It's not a safe game by any means. The fact that they did a game like this really is dependent on a lot of people playing it.
Okay.
Because you look at a game like Ingress that was popular for a very short period of time, and then it went immediately to like niche.
Okay.
It wasn't everybody playing it kind of a thing. And that's Ingress is a game that was made by the same company, Niantic, that made this game.
Okay.
And obviously coordination with Nintendo, the owners of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a very specific group of people that were playing it. And it wasn't very globally known. Other outside of people that have played games, they may know Ingress.
Yeah.
Or you might have heard of it, but maybe never downloaded it. Whereas this game is really blowing up. Yeah, like you're saying, it's like Candy Crush all over again or something. You know, like
oh, I think even more than Candy Crush.
Oh yeah, we were looking at it yesterday, and this game's only been out 2 or 3 days now, and it's already surpassed Messenger. Like,
oh,
Facebook,
wow.
Messenger, as far as like total time spent in the app.
Really?
So I can't believe it. It's really it's pretty impressive, the numbers. But yeah, the real fascination with the game is that it's we're coming into the world of VR, obviously virtual reality and augmented reality, and this game is an augmented reality game.
Okay.
So it uses your GPS location to tell where you are in the world. And then it will populate the world with Pokemon that you can catch only if you're at a specific geological location.
Okay.
So if I was to step outside, I may have a chance of finding a Pidgey, or I may have a chance of finding a Rattata, or whatever there is that's out there.
Yeah.
And on my phone, it'll tell me when I'm 3 steps, 2 steps, how close I am to that Pokemon.
Okay.
And everybody else in the world also has that Pokemon at that specific location.
Okay.
So if I was to run inside and say, hey guys, like I just found a Charmander. I didn't find a Charmander yet, you know? Then everybody else in the room that plays might go, oh man, where'd you find it? You know, and they all run out there because they know that it's still there for a short period of time.
Oh, so they move around.
The Pokemon are not always there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they can spawn, they can meaning they can just appear, or they can, you know, can they disappear. And so it's a very it's an ongoing game.
Yeah.
You kind of always want to have it open in the background just in case. You never know when that like Charizard might appear out of nowhere, or you know. So it's a very and that way, if you know other people that are playing it, it's a very connective game, because I can know that the other people are probably looking for it too, and that they'll freak out if I find a certain thing and so on.
Okay, so they're playing this game. Is there a way for you to win the game, or are you just constantly collecting people and you always have to be up in front? Are there leaders?
Yeah, there are definitely leaders, but they would have to continue to progress in the game to stay the leaders. You don't have a leaderboard.
Oh, there's not an overall leaderboard.
Right, there isn't a leaderboard. You just kind of check with your friend or anybody that you found. You do have an overall level, and so you could kind of base a little bit off of that, but then there's also an individual level for each Pokemon.
Okay.
So you might have one Pokemon that's at a higher level than somebody else, but they have a different Pokemon that's a higher level than you.
Okay.
The game works with elements, so there's like fire Pokemon, which are going to be weak towards water Pokemon.
Okay.
So there's a whole, you know, kind of level system that exists within it. And you can take those Pokemon to gyms that are specific location-based areas.
Yep.
That, like ours is across the street at the water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all preset from the game before.
Okay.
When it was running Ingress, those are all from that game. And those locations can be taken by people that are in different groups. So there's 3 different teams. There's the blue team.
Okay.
The red team and the yellow team. And
you get to decide what team you're on?
You do. You do. You get to decide. So Team Blue is my team. Team Mystic. Obviously the best team. So a lot of us are in. Obviously we're here. We're all in Team Mystic. And so we will run around as a group after church. We'll go sometimes to, you know, however many miles. Sometimes we'll run 2 or 3 miles or so and go capture a gym. We all went as a group. And as we were leaving, a car pulled up with four girls that stepped out. And they were all standing there kind of shyly with their phones. And, you know, we yelled at them like, yeah, Team Mystic, good luck, you know.
And we're, can you defend your gym?
You can. They have a chance to take it. But you can always take it back.
Okay.
So it's less of a matter of kind of staying there and fighting or anything like that, but you leave Pokemon at the gym for them to fight.
Okay.
And then if they beat those Pokemon, then you go back and fight the Pokemon they left.
Okay.
So you don't have to be there to fight the battle.
Okay.
And that system's working pretty well right now. I think they might update some things so that you can fight and do stuff. Right now it's kind of just based at gyms is where you fight.
Okay, so two questions immediately that come to my mind.
Sure.
Is do you have to know Pokemon to play this game?
Right.
And then two is further, you already kind of shared a little bit about it, but what is a gym? For the person who doesn't know anything about this, do you have to know Pokemon and what is a gym?
Okay, I would say knowing Pokemon definitely helps. And the reason mostly for it is so that you don't look silly. Because a lot of the Pokemon have kind of weird ways of pronouncing the names.
Okay.
And so if you pronounce it wrong, then somebody who knows it grows up with it, they might go, well, that's a little silly. A good one is Rattata, or, you know, they say different things for it.
Okay.
Rat-a-tat, you know, there's like...
Yeah, oh, okay.
And so it's just kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Pukachu, you know, you might say things wrong.
Yeah.
But other than that, really, it's just knowing how how rare a Pokemon might be.
Okay.
If you remember in the game how rare a Pokemon is, then you probably know how rare the Pokemon is when you find it.
Okay.
And, before you catch a Pokemon, it comes as like a gray shadow on your screen, and so you won't know what it is until you catch it.
Oh. Okay.
So like, obviously, they're not gonna be able to see this, but right now there are two Pokemon in the area that I haven't caught yet.
Okay.
But I know already this is a Tentacool, and this one is Tentacruel, and this one is I think that's Dugtrio. So you know what those are because you've played the game.
Okay, yeah.
But if you hadn't, then you wouldn't know those things, and you might, you know, freak out over something, and then you find out later that it was not an important Pokemon or whatever. So,
okay, and then what is a gym?
Right, so a gym is, I guess I can kind of go over it. It's a location-based area. It's like we were talking.
Why is it important? Like, why when people talk about gyms and defeating the gym? Why? Because they've talked about churches being like a gym.
A lot of churches are gyms, right? Yeah. So what happened with that? Why are churches gyms? In the original game, well, I'm going to say original game. In the first game that Niantic made, Ingress, they had it open for submissions for gyms.
Okay.
At the time, they weren't gyms. They were just locations that you would use to capture and that you would play a kind of a pseudo version of this game.
Okay.
And that was a long time ago. It's been years since you could submit for those kind of areas. One of the requirements or one of the things that was acceptable to submit as a gym was religious organizations.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of people said, oh, religious organizations, I'll submit my church. So a lot of these places are church locations that were submitted in that version of the game, and now they're becoming popular in Pokemon Go.
Nice, okay. Cool. Okay, so as we kind of wrap up, this has been very good and very helpful. But as we wrap up, I'd love to share the ministry aspect of this.
Right.
Because you and I have talked a lot offline, off this podcast, just about different things. But how do you think churches, and in particular student ministries, could use this game for ministry purposes? Like, what are some ideas that you've thought about so far?
Right. Having played the game, I didn't have to try very hard. It immediately kind of happened by itself. I'd say student ministry is definitely the easiest. Most people will probably be playing it. It's one of those games where if you're not playing it, it's going to become more the norm to play it than not play it,
I
think, as it is now. It is definitely easy to say, well, we have a Pokestop, which is a place for collecting Pokeballs and other things. Like, it's more like refilling your stash, as it were. And there's one of those that are here. So after church, I put a lure on it, which means that for 30 minutes, more Pokemon than normal will spawn in the area. near really? In our church.
Okay, so you've put a, so you're actually attracting people then to
right.
our church.
Yeah, the joke is that people put lures on Pokestops to attract other trainers, not Pokemon.
Okay.
Because if you see a lure, then you go, oh man, someone's over there that's playing Pokemon, so they all go over there.
Yeah.
But that worked pretty well, so we did that, and I posted on Facebook that I would do that.
I saw that.
Yeah, okay, and so a bunch of people that were outside, people that come to our church from student ministry, they came because they knew that it was there.
Yeah.
And then we all grouped up, and I said, hey, here's a charging block. So we had a station for charging phones.
Uh-huh.
We all charged up our phones, and then we head out together to
cool.
To a different location to catch. There's an area that has water Pokemon. It's in a lake,
yeah.
So it has water Pokemon. We caught some over there, and then we went to the gym that's across the street.
Okay.
And as a group, we all took it. We fought as group. You can do group battles if you're all on the same team.
Nice.
So we fought it as a group, and we took it, and then we left, and then we kind of all broke up into our groups or whatever, and that was fun. Another way that is a little bit more tricky, but it still has proven to have worked. I have seen a lot of people in the area playing. I saw a lure somewhere else and across the street somewhere, and so I walked over there and I saw there was a car parked that was there all playing, you know.
Yeah.
And then another car pulled up and they were like, hey, you know, we just came here. And so we just started talking about what team they were on.
That's
and
cool.
What their you know best Pokemon was and everything. And I kind of mentioned that we went as a group sometimes after church and did that. And they were, oh, yeah, you know, like, where's that? And I said, oh, I was right across the street. I could point at it. I could say, well, you know, the Pokestop over there.
Nice.
If you click it, you'll see it says New Life Christian Church. That's, you know, obviously
yeah.
a church here. And so that was kind of it's a really easy way to just go, like, it's a nod, you know.
Yeah.
It's just one, but it's basically saying, I play Pokemon and I go to church, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And it's not separate, and that might have been what some people have the tape recorder that's in their head is
yeah.
Video games are not acceptable at a church
yeah.
or that they're not technologically savvy, and that's kind of obviously a barrier we have to get past before we can even start those conversations.
Yeah.
And through that I was able to say, oh yeah, it's a gym. Oh, church is a gym? What? How's that work? And then explain how I work there, and you know, there's all this other stuff that's going on there. So there's other avenues, and everybody will have their own specific what makes their church a church, and so that for us was an easy in to kind of let them
yeah.
know about it.
That dude, that's awesome. And I imagine, again, just you guys going together, one is it's a way to get people in your church to go do some things together,
right? Sure.
But it's also a way to draw new people in, and because people are, I mean, they're. And the one thing I love about gaming, and I could be wrong, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but
sure.
It seems like it's a very open and free community where people are very accepting of each other on that. And so that's why I think this whole thing of, literally, I see so many people walking around doing stuff, exercising, which is the other thing.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
it's very cool that they're walking tons and tons to get to these Pokemon.
I've walked 30 miles now.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's awesome. And so I think there's a lot of benefits to doing this. But just seeing that this game is not just a game, but it could actually be used for good purposes and for ministry uses as well. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, a community, the gaming community is a community like any other,
mm-hmm.
every other community is. Obviously, there's going to be outliners and people that get angry faster than other people,
sure.
or people that are more accepting than other people. But as a whole, I think we have something that we can stand behind. You know, we all like gaming,
yeah.
and we all want to have a good time, and we all want to have that usually comes with acceptance. And so, yeah, I think it's... that's kind of why that community is we're used to people going, oh, nerds.
Yeah.
And so we kind of, you know, got a group up together, house divided kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So we're all for any kind of gaming. And right now I'm glad to see mobile gaming take off because it has kind of a connotation. Like if you play mobile games, you're not a real gamer.
Yes.
That's kind of that like
oh, yeah.
thought that people say.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of breaks that barrier because this game is taking over everybody has to play
yeah.
it. And so I think it's really good to see it bring everybody together.
That's cool. Well, Jay, really, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm actually appalled at myself that I haven't had you on sooner to talk about gaming. I'm going to bring you back again, and we're going to talk about some other gaming issues
sure.
as well. So
sure.
I really, you're my it guy for gaming.
The end with gaming. All right.
Yeah. So, all right, Jay. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Jate. And Jate is an awesome, awesome guy. He has such a heart for lost people. He has such a heart for Christ, and he is so gifted and talented on so many levels. But his heart for the gaming community really stands out, and he's always talking about gaming. He's always trying to reach out to gamers and help to win them for Christ, and it really shows. And so it was great having him on the podcast. It was great having him to break down Pokemon Go a little bit for us. I know we really just scratched the surface on a lot of things, but hopefully it will give you a baseline of what you can go on and how you can utilize it for your ministry. But I'm kind of curious, as always, what are you doing with Pokemon Go? How are you utilizing it for your ministry? What are you doing? I would love to hear about it, so hit me up on Twitter at TAPounder. And also, as always, if there is a topic that you want us to talk about on this podcast, I would love to hear from you. Again, you can share it with me at TA Pounder, or you can hit me up at tom@ymsidekick.com. Send me a quick little email. I'd love to hear from you about what are some topics coming up. What are some things that you guys are wrestling with in your ministry that we can talk about here on the podcast, and someone I can actually bring in an expert and share his thoughts or her thoughts on the subject matter as well. All right, everyone. Well, that wraps it up for us today. Thanks for joining us. Again, if you like the podcast, definitely go on the iTunes, hit subscribe. I would love your subscription. We've got a new podcast each and every week, so definitely make sure you tune in for that. All right, heroes, until next week, I hope you have a great week, and go Pokemon Go.